And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, buckle up, little campers, as we get ready to close out chapter 35 of the book of Job. Again, I know people want me to go through some of this text in bigger chunks, but when the truth cries out, you have to look at it, examine it, handle it, process it, meditate on it, and make it become a part of you. Because we shall know the truth, not know of the truth, but know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Next, here's a fascinating portion that we're going to get into in verse 12. It states, God does not answer people because of one simple reason, their pride. People expect God to answer them because they feel they're entitled to an answer. Guess what? You're not. God owes you and me nothing, and nobody else is owed anything either. And God does not answer people who are full of pride. We should all keep that in mind when we can't hear the voice of the Lord. And finally, a critical truth emerges between verses 13 and 14. Elihu says it's wrong to say that God doesn't listen. It's even more wrong to say he doesn't know what's going on. That's a nice way of saying that God is not omniscient, but he is. But he doesn't know everything, but he does. So God does not have to respond, though, to anybody their way. People get mad because God doesn't get angry and join their side in things. This type of thinking is defined biblically as unintelligent.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and life, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, relax. Because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's two cans and a string. But in the meantime, you can send an email to us if you want to. David@hemustincrease.org. I promise we won't have any immediate replies that go, "Arr!" Okay? I mean, this is what I'm telling you. So you can email us, David@hemustincrease.org. You can text live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. Yeah. That's right. I think I'll call. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call that number, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D is knowing that your spiritual radio family has your back.
That's always good, Dave.
That's
always
a good, good, good thing right there. So if you've got a praise report, if you've got a prayer request, we want you to have that opportunity to share it. If you've got something that's going on, you just want to talk it through. If you've got a question like Sergio did. Now, I don't normally take a question and then go 23 straight minutes on an answer. But Sergio's got a little bit of an anointing on some of his questions, which he doesn't even realize, and they're helpful for people to understand how to draw closer to the Lord. In the meantime, we also do trivia, believe it or not, and we're going to do that because we need to do that. Here's your first trivia question for the day. How long did the Israelites eat manna in the wilderness? 10, 15, or 40 years? 10, 15, or 40 years. How long did the children of Israel eat manna, like manna burgers, in the wilderness? You can reach us by calling 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We will do our DNA, because there might be many things we failed to do today, but DNA won't be one of them. So we're going to let, I'm going to give the opportunity for Dynamite D to answer the phone, and then we're going to go into our DNA, because it's very important for us to do, especially in lieu of what my first 30-minute rant was. All right, so D, DNA, our building blocks. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. You want to know why? Take a look outside. Listen to the news for 1 minute. Look at the newspaper for 1 second. Take a look around you. That's why we got to spend time with the Lord. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, ever, ever be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Even in stuff you're still growing up in and learning and, hey, I'm still trying to process, I understand. There's a lot there. There's 850,000 words if you're using the King James Version. There's Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. A lot of stuff there. And guess what? You and I, we don't understand every nuance perfectly, but we trust that God knows how to write a book because we believe he created the universe. That's not so hard. That makes sense. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means OPM, other people matter, which means other people matter. And when your life is filled with just focused on you, it tends to go down. And that's not what the Lord wants. So don't do that.
Pretty good explanation there.
Yeah, I'm just pretty, you know, got a lot of extra repetition going on there. All right. We do have somebody who's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Deborah, and I hope you had a good weekend.
I did have a nice weekend. Thanks, Deborah. I appreciate that. All right. You ready? I think you're going to get this. I feel strong. How long did the Israelites eat manna in the wilderness? How long did they eat? It was 10?
Banana man.
Yeah, it's banana bread. See, instead of manna.
Oh,
or it's a manna burger.
40 years.
Is it like that? All right. 10, 15, or 40 years? Which one?
40.
That is correct, Amanda! You are right. Yeah, see, you had to eat all these different things. And so if you're going to eat manna for 40 years, you got to come up with different stuff, like manna souffle, you know. You got to come up with all these different,
right.
different ideas on how to eat it, because otherwise it's going to be like manna. Excellent,
right.
Excellent.
Okay, well, thank you. Y'all have a good afternoon.
All right, God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. Excellent job by Deborah. Always an excellent job by Deborah. I'd like to point that out to you. See, if you think about that, see, that's a song that Keith Green did. You want to go back to Egypt. For those that have never heard that song, he does this whole thing about, you know, manna bread, you know, manna souffle, manna burgers. It's hilarious.
Oh, wow, Dave, I thought you came up with manna burgers. I was going to say, you're going to have to trademark that.
Yeah,
manna
burgers. No.
I like
that's
that.
Keith Green. He did that. It's called, you want to go back to Egypt, and then that was the whole thing. It's a hilarious song. If you can listen to it, listen to it. But it's, you know, it's great stuff. All right. So before we go into the teachings on Job, which, of course, you guys know we're everywhere and anywhere today. Here's the thing. That's how it goes.
Yeah, we shouldn't be surprised.
I mean, I had zero idea. The teaching that I had on 2 Timothy was so good. Or on 1 Timothy 5:17 was so good. Okay, well, I guess next week will be so good. So wherever the Lord wants it, and we love, by the way, that Sergio asks questions, other people ask questions. If we can't answer, we will. I'll tell you, I've had somebody call up and say, I got to research it. And then if you're going to ask me the difference between amillennialism, premillennialism, and postmillennialism, you're going to get the fast answer because the deep answer takes about 25 years to explain. So, yeah, I think that's a little long for the show. Anyway, you know it's September 11th. This is the 22nd year since our country was attacked. Putting aside every and any theory that takes place. We're just doing that for as we talk. And the political answer is always what I can neither deny nor affirm. I mean, it's just like that's what they say. But I want to do this small devotional from Pastor Ray, who had a pretty intense experience. I had a very small experience during this event. I've mentioned it before, but mine's not worthy of being mentioned. And anybody that has suffered serious loss, that's way beyond the scope, okay? Those people need to be cared for, prayed for, thought of. You know what I'm saying? It's like serious stuff here. So I want to read Pastor Ray's devotional on the September 11th, 2001. This is where he wrote, and this is his material. The day everything changed. That's what he called it. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed. It's Genesis 26:4. In 2001, Ray wrote, I took a life-changing trip to Israel. After flying home, my wife and I were awakened the next morning from a jet-lagged sleep when the phone rang. A good friend was calling, clearly upset. Turn on the television now. She was barely able to get those words out. We're being attacked. It was September 11th. Four commercial jetliners had been hijacked by terrorists and used as deadly weapons against American citizens. We began checking with other friends and traveling companions. Several team members who had traveled with us to Israel had left on a later flight. They landed in Newark, New Jersey, and were stranded on the tarmac, where they could see smoke billowing from lower Manhattan. Some ended up hitchhiking home across the country. With this direct attack on U.S. soil, everything changed. Even though the attack was launched against New York City and Washington, D.C., Israel was the key. The terrorists hated its existence and hated the United States for supporting the Jewish state. Just days early, I took part in a vine planting ceremony in the city of Ariel. That day, kneeling in the dirt, working the soil, and planting new vines, the importance of God's people impacted me. I had studied prophecy for decades, but on that afternoon, I knew the fate of the world revolved around Israel. I came face to face with a new understanding of prophecy. It is not just the geography of Israel that's important to understand, to understanding. Let me say that again. It is not just the geography of Israel that is important to our understanding. Israel and her people are the center of the world, our history, and our future. Israel is more than a prophetic clock on a wall. God had a beautiful goal in mind when he promised Abraham, and in you, all the families of earth will be blessed. No one is left out of this promised blessing. God manifested his love and grace from the very beginning. We are all his chosen people through the covenant he made with Abraham. When I believed in Jesus as my Lord, Savior, and Messiah, I too became a son of the promise, a spiritual son of Abraham, grafted into the family. September 11th is a day we will never forget. Our nation and our world changed, and our eyes were opened to so much, including the need and importance for obeying God's exhortation. Pray for the peace of Israel. May they prosper who love you. Psalm 122, verse 6. So Pastor Ray, solid devotion. I mean, on that day, and I've mentioned it before, and I'm only going to mention it for a little bit, my personal suffering was 1/1,000,000th of an inch high compared to the majority of everybody else and what they went through. Most people remember where they were, remember what was happening. The most bizarre thing is that, and I will say this, is that for about a week and a half or 2 weeks, and I don't think most people will disagree with this, but a week and a half or 2 weeks, there was a unique element of unity in the country. I mean, that's just, you know, that's what happened. Then, as often is, time settles in, politics come back, politics, poly, many, ticks, blood-sucking insects. So politics came back in, and that all changed. But for that little brief period, it was like, that's right, we're Americans. The amazing thing about that was the unity that created the strength. The most amazing thing about that is that sometimes it takes persecution and attacks for
entities to unite, which would, of course, explain the trials of the early church. So sometimes in your family life and the people that are around you, it takes an attack for you guys to unite, and sometimes it takes a spiritual attack for you to unite with God. That's just the truth. So we never want that to happen again. We never want to support that kind of thing. If you want to believe it went left, right, you got this here, great, great, great guy. I don't care. Stay united with God, united with your family, united with your spiritual family, for that is what the Lord always works into something good. That's the bad that turns into good, being united the right way in the kingdom of God. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, he's crying. Now, I was still of the mindset that men don't cry, okay, just so you can know. And I'm getting mad because it's my story and he's crying. And I'm thinking, it's my story. Why are you crying? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And he's crying. He's apparently a good crier. I don't know what a good crier is. I learned after my dad died, but I mean, somewhat. But this is real. You know, he's sobbing. And I'm like, and he looks up at me after he's cried for about a minute and a half. And his eyes are red. And he looks at me and he says, "This is how the Lord hurts for you." And that was it. Bam. It was like somebody just took a hammer and broke my hard heart and my, you know, my pride attitude and my over arrogance and my everything. Looking at that guy, showing me crying and tears, and all I could think of was Jesus wept.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where we're still trying to figure out how half the show is over.
Goes by so fast.
What happened? What happened? All right, here we go. Next trivia question. I love stuff like that. I want you to know. And I don't often go on a, you know, that kind of I don't know. It was really wasn't a rant. It was really of a sharing. But we're open to it. And if the Lord wants to do something or somebody has something, they share. It's like that. Just listen, right? You listen. What you do is you test everything. That's just what you do. You test everything. Make sure it's right. Make sure it lines up with Scripture. All right, that's your plumb line, not Scripture. Okay,
more than anything else. He created the universe. He can write a book. Just stand in that, never move, okay? And then sometimes we get into some other things, and, you know, just part of who we are. We are Christians who are temporary residents on this earth, okay? All right. Who persecuted David the most? Who persecuted David the most? Was it Saul, Joab, or Absalom? Who persecuted David the most? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So the question is, and it's an interesting question, is who persecuted David the most? I will say to some degree that all three are definitely in the realm, right? But one stands out above the rest. So we do have somebody that's calling in. So who persecuted David the most? Was it Saul? Was it Joab? Or was it Absalom? Most specifically, I think you guys will know this answer. We do have somebody ready to answer, so let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm just keep praying.
All right, and so are we. We're going to do that right with you. All right, my brother. Who persecuted David the most out of Saul, Joab, and Absalom?
I would say Saul.
That is correct, Amundo! In fact, it's really hands and it's heads and hands way above anybody else. I mean, Saul just couldn't let it go from the early time of Goliath until his demise. He was just like, I don't like this guy anymore. I don't like this guy anymore. All because he was growing in favor, and that Saul's jealousy became too much for Saul to hang in there. And so instead of hanging in there, he tried to do him in, which is like, wow. That ought to tell you, people that try to do other people in, there's something going on there, right? There's something not a right spirit there. And let me pray over you, and everybody's joining me with their faith, believing that God will touch you. So let's pray.
Okay.
Father, we come before you right now. Lift up our precious brother Gary. We ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to bring healing into his body. Not a little, a lot. He needs miracle after miracle, and he needs it from you. And you are the way maker, and you are the one that brings those miracles. You are Jehovah Rapha, and we ask you to heal him in the name and authority of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray solidly confident in your grace and persistently until you say yes, so we can all rejoice with our brother Gary. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, and I'll be praying for all of you.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right, back to the text. We should go to a text.
Yes, now.
Yeah, it's going to a text. We're going to a text. Leave me alone. Job chapter 35, and we're going to be at verse 9. Job 35 and verse 9, okay?
This is a great... I can't wait to tell you these, because this is just going to make some people laugh, okay?
All right. Job 35, 9. The oppressed cry out beneath the wrongs that are done to them. They groan beneath the power of the mighty. Yet they don't ask, where is my God, the one who gives me songs in the night? Where is the one who makes us wiser than the animals and birds? Just stop right there. You think, wait, what, so? Okay, first, the one who gives me songs in the night, my brother wrote a song about that. It's great. Actually, he wrote a song about that. Phil Key wrote a song about that, okay? He gives songs in the night. Musicians love this text, by the way, because it talks about songs in the night, and people get songs in the night who are musicians. It's really cool, right? I don't want to talk about that. That is cool. It's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about verse 11. Where is the one who makes us wiser than in the animal and the birds? So give me a moment here. God makes you and I wiser than the animals and the birds. I had a discussion, absolutely true, in philosophy class, absolutely true, with a professor who said that animals and people are no different. Now wait. You cannot possibly escape that it's philosophy class. Okay? So wait. So he was making his argument to the class that there was no difference between animals and people. So what did Dave do? Why Dave was so loved in certain classes? Dave raised his hand and told him this. None of the people are paying money, or none of the animals are paying money to an institution to try and get some kind of grade for discussing human beings. Let me just say that again. So what I said was, none of the people are paying money to an institution to try and get some kind of grade for discussing human beings. But here we are in an institution paying you money so we can have a grade because we're discussing how animals aren't any different from humans. There is one animal that gives me pause that does make me think that maybe these animals are closer to people than we'll acknowledge. And that, of course, is I'm talking about the mule. I'm not talking about it from the descriptive, but from the slang name. So I guess how well that went over. See, so what I was saying to him in my most modest, humble way, because I was really bad in class, as I was saying, this whole conversation was the slang of a mule. What's the slang name for a mule? Just think about that and you'll figure it out. I said, because the animals aren't sitting in a classroom discussing how human beings and animals are different, paying money and get a grade, and yet we are. Okay, I just want to bring that point up. So when people say there's no difference between people and animals, don't say that, okay? I love animals. I love my birdie. I love my Levi. I love my teal. I love my shadow. I love my killer. I love all the animals. I love every one of them. But Jesus died on the cross, while redemption will likely be included, and that will probably include animals. He died on the cross for you and me and for people. And God declares through Jesus Christ that mankind is worth much more than sheep. So stop doing the equating. I love animals too. Just don't do that. Okay? That's just an insult, because what was God's ultimate creation on earth? Man. And then, of course, he went one better and did a woman. Right? But it's mankind. That's the ultimate creation, made in the image and likeness of God. Okay? Just keep it there. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
I'm not going to do an overriding teaching that will make the Baptists or the Church of Christ proud, so neither one of you groups can be all excited about this, because that's not the purpose of this. Here's where we're picking it up. As verse 34 ends, the eunuch asked Philip, what was Isaiah talking about, himself or someone else? Verse 35 from Acts chapter 8 says, Philip began with the same scripture and then began to tell him about the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there is some water. Why can't I be baptized? So let's just stop right there. When Philip was explaining the gospel to the eunuch, he had to include the understandings or the teachings of baptism, or the eunuch never would have said, why can't I be baptized? He never would have said it, never would have come up, unless Philip had brought that information to light. In multiple translations, it then says, you can, Philip answered, if you believe with all your heart. And the eunuch replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is often known as believer's baptism. Some texts will show this in the footnote. I disagree that it should be reduced to the footnote. I think it's a part of the text. I would not fellowship with you over that. I just think it is a part of the text because he asks a very pointed question, and in this exchange, Philip is giving a very pointed answer. So he's like, well, there's some water. I want to be baptized. I want to respond to the gospel. I want to say yes. And Philip responds by saying, you can. You can get baptized. As long as you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can be baptized. Now, why that's important is because this is the difference between many different groups about who can be baptized. Some people think, well, a child can be baptized. Yeah, but a child can't believe in Jesus, so then how can a child be baptized? That's the argument, okay? Those, again, those are not fellowship issues. Those are disagreements. You know, I spent 10 minutes talking about understanding who's got the Spirit of God and who doesn't have the Spirit of God. When you have a difference of application of Scripture, that person's not an evil person. They're not some kind of demonic whatever. They see something different than you. Okay. They're genuinely in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is what redeems us. They are acknowledging their heavenly Father, praying, Our Father who art thou in heaven. They drink of the same Holy Spirit. They come to a different conclusion. Yeah. What else is new? Does everybody think McDonald's is the best fast food? Are you kidding? There's only a few people.
You're here when I need you the most.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM, the Truth Station here in Texas, like that little extra little thing right there. We do have another trivia question. Boy, this is just rolling by. I'm actually trying to keep up.
I can tell, David. I'm looking
like,
at you right now.
I got
now.
Papers. I'm like going, where's this? I don't even know where this. Okay, here you go. All right, you guys should know this one. I'm going to believe you're going to know this one. And you better know this one because this teaching is coming up pretty soon. Actually, a reference back to this teaching. Anyway, where was Saul? So before he's the Apostle Paul, okay, he was still Saul. Okay, where was he placed or what was he placed in to let him down the wall? Was it a chest, a box, or a basket? Was it a chest, a box, or a basket? Remember, they let him down in the wall, right? Okay. Al stepping up right away. So I want to point out that Eric has a pow-pow, and Deb has a pow-pow, and now Al has a pow-pow. We're going to give you that chance to answer that question. We're also going to send you up to the website, and I'll explain why in a second. What was Saul placed in that they let him down on a wall, and so they had to let him down because he had to escape? Was it a chest, a box, or a basket? That's the question, okay? All right. Jeanette doing another excellent job. She's just killing it of late. 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We're going to send you up to the website because the truth is we need funds. We're not broke. If we were broke, I'd be like doing this every 30 seconds. No, not every 30 seconds. Isn't that terrible?
Go to the website.
Yeah. Go to the website. Then Jesus said, go to the website. And then Paul said, go to the website. I'm not doing that. All right. That's funny, though. Look, if you can give, great. If you can't, don't worry about it. But you can be praying for us, and we expect that. And I don't think that's weird or bizarre or anything like that. Check out the website on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Flop, flop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
There you go. Okay. Trivia questions. Was Saul placed in a chest, a box, or a basket when they let him down the wall? Your answer really is in Acts 9:23-25, so it should not be that difficult to locate. You are welcome to guess at it as well. There's nothing wrong with that. Just try not to Google. You know, it's not that Google's bad in that sense. I'm not saying that, but if you look it up in your Bible, you just tend to remember it more. Than just putting it on the Google thing. All right, 972-445-0770, 214-210-8483. or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Let's send somebody through. They're ready to do it. Let's go. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, Dave. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
My leg's killing me. I'm kind of having to hobble along, but I'll make it.
All right. Well, you don't mind if we pray for you when we're done with this, do you?
I would love for you to, Dave.
All right. We will definitely do that.
Paul or Saul was turned, he was, you know, a tent maker, but after that, he became a basket case.
That's that is. he became a basket case because they let him down in a basket. Excellent job. That was a great job. That was excellent, excellent job, brother. Very, very, very funny. All right, so you're having problems with the leg. So I want people to know what it is so they can be praying. Even though we're going to pray for you, I want people in the audience to hear you and to tell them, hey, this is my name. It's John. This is my problem. This is what I'm going on. I just want to need prayer for. Tell them, brother. Tell them what's going on.
Okay. Hi, my name is John Whiteside, and I've got a left leg that I don't know what's wrong with, but it's got to the point where I can't hardly stand on it. So if you would, please pray for me.
Excellent. That's what you got. That's your brother in Christ saying, pray for me. Listen to that. Let's pray for him right now. Father, we come before you right now. We lift up John. We ask you in the name of Jesus Christ that you would bring healing power into his leg. And just doesn't even matter why, Lord. We don't even care. What we know is that your power is real. And we ask you to manifest your power by physically touching his leg. In the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let it happen. Let him rejoice. Let him sing a new song. Let him sing praises and acknowledge you in all of it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thanks, Dave.
All right, brother. God amen. Bless you. Keep
praying
us posted.
For your ministry.
Thank you, brother. We need it and we appreciate it.
Come see us.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Here we go. Next. It's just too much. I can't miss. Okay. This one, I'm teaching you this. I'm sharing this with you, and I'm telling you. This was so hard. This was so hard for me to go through. Here we are. We're at verse 12 of Job 35. And I'm just being honest. It's hard. Sometimes you read it, it's like, wow. All right, and we'll back it up. Okay, we'll back it up just because I wanted to. Verse 10, yet they don't ask, where is my God, my creator, the one who gives songs in the night? Where is the one who makes us wiser than the animals and the birds? Verse 12, and if they do cry out and God does not answer, it is because of their pride. Verse 12, it states, God does not answer people because of one simple reason, because of their pride. People expect God to answer them, but let me explain what I want to say about that. People expect God to answer them. When they do it right in faith, they do it with humility. When you do it in arrogance, people feel like God needs to answer them because they feel like they're entitled. That's pride. And you know what God says about that? Nope. You see, when you have an expectation of faith, it's always surrendered to the Lord. Jesus. I mean, who could pray better than Jesus? Let this pass before me. Yet not my will, but thy will be done. I mean, who could pray better than that? Nobody. And yet when people pray before the Lord, they demand of him. People are even in the faith business, they demand of God. You don't demand anything of God. Can you imagine somebody standing before God and saying, I demand? I mean, that would be the end, right? So God does not answer people in pride. And people are not entitled to an answer. God owes you nothing. Hey, don't misunderstand. God owes me nothing. God doesn't know, God doesn't owe anybody else anything either. And just so that I don't want us to miss the truth of this, God does not owe you a thing. God does not owe David Spoon a molecule, nothing. And God does not owe anybody else anything ever. So let's just stop with that arrogant, you know, he's going to have to give an account. Da, da, da. This, listen, this is God. He's the creator of the universe. You stand before him, you'll be lucky if you can stand. Once you're the puddle that's on the floor before him, you'll be lucky if he speaks nice. I mean, I'm not saying that to be, I'm just saying it's just like this arrogance that we have, this pride that we have, this position of entitlement and owed and this and that. It's like, what are you talking? Not one single person on this planet is entitled to the next breath they take. Yet right now, at this moment, billions of people are getting a gift called breath. And there it is again, another gift. And there it is again, another gift. And God tells us through his word, hey, I don't answer people who are full of pride. I don't have time. I don't have, it's not that he doesn't have time, but that's a good line to use. Man, I don't have time for you. It's about we need to keep our minds and our hearts and our spirits right. I mean, you wake up tomorrow, which the majority of you will, if not all of you, and you just... God has just granted you a day. Like, wow. So when Elihu is saying to Job, and you have to love this because he's, you know, this young kid is, I mean, let's just be honest, he's killing Job. He's just wiping him out. He's just like, Job, there's no theological any response to any of this because you get to this level, and when God comes in the next chapter and a half, it's like, it's 1,000 times worse than this, which is funny because this is really bad. It's just look at verse 12. And they cry out to God. They cry out and God does not answer. It is because of their pride. Okay. So maybe when we're seeking the Lord and we're asking and we're trying to find and we're not getting all the answers, it's perhaps a bit of a wisdom to go, you know what? I'm going to put on the face of humility, the sincerity of humility, recognize my position and say, I'd love to hear from you. I greatly appreciate knowing what's going on. I appreciate you answered 1,000 prayers for me and you'll answer 1,000 more, but I humble myself, yield myself. You are the king. Thank you and praise you for all things. Yeah, how about that? Maybe that is a better approach. I don't know. Call me crazy, but somewhere inside of me, I think that's a better approach. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull-oney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to HeMustIncrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
The Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and rain and an apple seed. Yes, he's been good to me.
Know there's a lot of cholesterol in lard? I'm losing it here. What? The lard? What is that guy? Where is he from?
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Last trivia question. Here we go. How old was Isaac when he married Rebecca? Was he 20, 30, or 40 years old? How old was Isaac? People are like, you know, I think I've heard this question before. That's right. But this time, you might get it right. That's a joke.
I actually said that in my head, Dave.
How old was Isaac when he married Rebecca? 20, 30, or 40 years old? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, David. At HeMustIncrease.org. We're going to do history, so let's do that real quickly.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right, so as we had mentioned before and we did in the very beginning of the show, today is 9/11 day, September 11th day from 2001. Hijackers, this is from a history portion, so don't, this is not me, this is just history. Hijackers from the group Al-Qaeda crashed two jets into the Twin Towers over the World Trade Center in New York City. Shortly after both towers collapsed, a third jet crashed into the Pentagon. A fourth plane crashed in the rural field in Somerset County, Pennsylvania. The official count, technically, the official count was 2,997 deaths in the attack, although there were certainly more than that in this sense of people that died afterwards and so on and so forth. A couple things to tell you. So with it being 9/11 Day, it's also supposed to be Patriot Day. Be nice if people remember that. It is also, for those that don't know, National Emergency Responders Day. So it's just like that's kind of a cool, you know, thing to honor people that risk their lives. The people that are going in the building while the building's crashing and while people are going out of the building. Today is a day that I don't do very well on this one. It's called Make Your Bed Day. I have nothing. Okay, I'm just going to say I have nothing.
Come on, Dave.
It's Make Your Bed Day. I don't. What are you talking about? I help with the laundry and the dishes and everything else. Making my bed?
Okay, now that you say that, you're good.
I do. I literally do a little bit of everything. Keyword, little bit. Anyway, today on this day, 1950, Dick Tracy, the Dick Tracy television series premiered on ABC. It's Dick Tracy, just a little bit before your time, D.
I've heard of Dick Tracy, though.
Yeah, they actually did a movie many, many years later. It was terrible. Anyway, that's just my opinion. 1967 on this day, the Carol Burnett Show. That show, by the way, for those that don't know, that Carol Burnett Show, Harvey Korman, Vicki Lawrence, Lyle Wagner, Tim Conway, went on to win 25 Primetime Emmy Awards. That was funny. That show was great, great, great show. And then finally, for baseball fans, because they're getting thinner and thinner, Pete Rose breaks the all-time record with 4,192 career baseball hits. Okay? All right. Leave that there. No comments there. I'm not going to make any political comments. I'm just going to move on and give the triv question one more time. Did somebody have an answer for the triv, or did they just call in and say
no, this was in reference to, you know, earlier you said the donkey, and you said something else and not a donkey or something like that.
Yeah, the slang.
Yeah, but you said the wrong animal, though.
I did? What did I say? Mule.
Mule, and he said he thought you probably meant donkey.
Yeah, I did mean donkey. That's right.
All right.
It was the first time caller that said that too, Dave.
Yeah, that's good. No, and that's right. You know, if I make a mistake like that, just correct me. I forget. something my wife said to me, and I said, hey, I'm over 60. I forgot. It's like, that's my new line.
You're not a spring chicken anymore.
No, I guess not. I guess that is the case. All right, back to the trivia question. How old was our buddy Isaac when he married Rebecca? Was he 20, 30, or 40 years old? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. Yeah, you can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Somebody is ready to answer a trivia question. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is your little brother.
Hey, what's happening, bro? How are you?
Hey, not much. I'm trying to give the trivia answer, but I don't know the question. So the answer is Jesus.
You sound a lot like Al. I was talking about manna, and he goes, how long were in the desert eating manna? And he goes, too long. It's like, okay, people. All right, people, let's pull this together. All right. How old was Isaac when he married Rebecca? 20, 30, or 40?
20, 30, or 40.
40! That's correct! That is absolutely correct, Amundo. How are you, bro?
Good, good.
Good. That's good. You know what? That's good to be good. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
I want everybody still praying for you,
because
too.
Because I'm on the air, so I want to remind our family, David Spoon Experience family, that I'm praying and I'm committed to be praying for the people, those are bones issue, orthopedic issue, arthritis, and I'm going to keep praying God's healing and miracles for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name. Hey, I sent you an email. Did you get that email by chance? I don't know if you got it or not. So I sent you.
No, I did not.
Okay, all right. I'm going to have you text me or send me an email with your updated email address so I can send it. I did have a request to ask somebody to have you pray for me, okay? All right, take care of that for me, bro. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. Got 5 minutes, and that's about what we need. And for me to finish this off. It's not a roast. I'm not even
saying. For right now.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Okay. So we're picking this back up from, and boy, you got to love verse 12, just because if they cry out and God does not answer, it is because of their pride. Wow. All right. Now verse 13 through 16, we'll wrap it up with this. But it's wrong to say God doesn't listen. We just hear that. But it's wrong to say that God doesn't listen, to say that the Almighty isn't concerned. It's even more false to say he doesn't see what's going on. He will bring about justice if you will only wait. But do you cry out against him because he does not respond in anger? Job, you have protested in vain. You have spoken like a fool. So this critical truth emerges in verses 13 and 14. Elihu says it's wrong to say that God doesn't listen. It's even more wrong to say he doesn't know what's going on. That's a super nice way of saying God is omniscient. He knows that God knows everything. So he knows what people are crying about. He knows what's going on in their lives. And let me just explain this to you real quickly. He knows every single element ever in your life. Beginning, middle, and end. There is nothing that you go through, feel, experience, encounter that God is unaware of. You're not mostly informing God, or you're not informing God at all when you pray. You're fellowshipping with him. You're talking to him like a son or a daughter talks to an excellent father. That's what you're doing. And then he says this, and this is the part. Oh, sometimes I read this. I think the Lord is having me go through this study for me more than you guys. God does not have to respond to anybody in the way they want him to. And people get mad because God doesn't get angry and join their side. Verse 15, but do you cry out against him? Because he does not respond in anger. In other words, you're mad because God's not joining you in your anger about something that you're angry about, and it's frustrating you because he should be joining you.
And this is where all of that same stuff comes in. So the Bible's very nice and says, you've protested in vain, you've spoken like a fool. This would be another reference for the donkey. I mean, it's just like, stop. What do you mean stop? God does not respond the way that you and I respond. In fact, you and I are much more reactors. If you want to be honest, I mean, I think we do. I think we want to be honest with God and with ourselves. Something happens and we typically react. We respond rarely. We react often. Something happens like, right? That's not really, that's reacting, not responding. And so the Lord's challenge through Elihu to Job, and Job was not a, I mean, saying this nice, he wasn't a slack kind of guy. He was a good guy. He was, loved the Lord. He just really got caught up in this massively big mistake of accusing God and justifying himself and not justifying God. And in the process, he's told, look, are you upset because God is not responding the way that you want him to in the anger that you have about what's going on? And people do that. People get mad that God doesn't join them on their side getting mad. That's that same feeling you have when you think, God, why can't you just wipe out all those people? Don't lie. Just stop it. God knows the thought. Why don't you move them all to Siberia? You don't have to kill them. Just move them all to Siberia, and everybody who believes in you, we can all live like in these other places. God does not respond with the human emotion primarily because he is omniscient, because he does know everything. He weighs all things. You and I, we react, and we don't know all things. See that difference? It's just like, well, that's pretty clear cut. Yeah. Yeah. God responds perfectly. We respond humanly. That's not the same, okay? All right. All right, folks, we're going to take our break. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770 at Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.